The World Tomorrow. Garner Ted Armstrong brings you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
And greetings, friends around the world. You know, almost every major movie company has five or six devil movies in the works. I mean, it's a devil of a mess in Hollywood right now. Almost every movie you go to see anymore is talking about everything being possessed, from fire plugs to dogs, chickens, cows, pigs, and now there's one coming out pretty soon about a demon-possessed automobile. Can you believe that? Running around the city, mindlessly bumping off pedestrians. Alan Ladd Jr. is a Fox Film Division president, and he says almost every movie company has five or six devil movies in the work. Another film executive says devil movies are the current staple. They've even eclipsed the Western in popularity all over the world. And if you look at box office statistics, it's not hard to figure out why. The American people like to sort of vicariously enjoy their voyeuristic impulses by sitting in the darkened gloom of a movie theater, munching popcorn and being scared half to death. As they say, over in Hollywood, they did the disaster theme to death. I mean, mass death, brutal murder, jumping out of burning buildings, clawing your way through an overturned ship, having the daylight scared out of you in a massive earthquake, feeling the theater shake. Maybe one of these days what they can do is have some of these motion pictures complete with attendants there who can administer very mild forms of torture while people sit there and enjoy it. You know, the motion picture seats aren't complete. Of course, you figured that out. I mean, after you take a look at what happened to a lot of people watching The Exorcist, they vomited in the aisles. Some of them didn't quite make it to the John. A lot of them had to be carried out on stretchers. There were ambulances in attendance. Sometimes you'd see... It's unbelievable when you stop to think, here's a motion picture. It's supposed to be... Years ago, you used to think it was entertainment. But now people go to a movie theater, and like as not, you're going to see the subject matter is so grotesque, so hideous, so frightening, that it takes a bunch of paramedics or someone to pull up outside with a stomach pump and a resuscitation squad to get in there and rescue someone from strangling on you-know-what. It's unbelievable that this can happen, but people seem to enjoy it. The public wants it. They want excitement. They want escape. They want vicarious thrills. They want to be scared. And the disaster themes and the aged-old themes about, oh, the mummies and Dr. Frankenstein or whatever. And, you know, they're even bringing this dumb King Kong thing back. And I guess mature adult people will go to see that kind of thing. They know it's a mechanical monster. It's utterly impossible. It's hideously grotesque. It's unthinkable. But it's fantasy about some giant, about as big to human beings as we are to ants, striding through a metropolis. If I remember some of the little flicks I have seen, some of the promotional material on evening television, if that's any criterion. And I guess people are getting pretty much what they want. Hollywood has always striven mightily, just like so many slaves bowing down before the almighty dollar, saying, yea, dollar, yea, Dagon, yea, Vishnu, giving obeisance and lip service to their god. And Hollywood has always operated on the assumption that what people want must be good for them, because you wouldn't want anything that isn't good for you. So today, because there has become on the American scene to replace the Jesus People movement a kind of a new pop religion, which is interest in the supernatural and the psychic, all of the filmmakers are leaping to the whims of all of those people who really want to get themselves scared into some state of semi-mindlessness over the demon possession and the devil bit. It's not hard to figure out why the movie companies do that. When you find out that The Omen, Fox's hit movie about the Antichrist appearing on Earth, it costs about, $3 million, not quite $3 million to make, but already has gotten over $50 million in box office gross receipts in the United States, and they're expecting that motion picture is going to gross more than $100 million worldwide. They expect that eventually The Exorcist, the idea about a teenage girl being possessed by the devil, is going to gross about $121 million worldwide. So it's no wonder that the motion picture industry is scrambling to get on the bandwagon to give people what they're really interested in. Now, there's one coming out, according to Richard Lederer, producer of The Heretic, Warner's sequel to The Exorcist, that claims That's going to be another great, huge box office winner that people are going to flock to see that. Of course, they can keep that alive from now on, I suppose, as long as people's interest is still there. So, since they did the disaster theme completely to death, no pun intended, they are now returning to the devil stories. They're tired of disasters like famines and wars and earthquakes and all of that type of thing. But on the other hand, a lot of people now do believe, as they look at the world in general, that the time of some massive intervention is near. They see the growth in some of the so-called natural phenomena, because of drought, famine, the potential for war, the proliferation of nuclear powers around the world. A lot of people do believe we're living in what is called in the Bible a biblically prophesied time of the end. And for some reason they have this bizarre interest in the demoniacal, in the spirit world, because many people do believe that there is an Antichrist who is going to come. What they don't understand is that a lot of this twisted and perverted type of slop that is coming out, that is supposed to masquerade like entertainment, is preparing people's minds to accuse the real Jesus Christ of being the Antichrist, and of claiming that the person who is in the Bible identified as a great false prophet is actually a representative of God, or maybe is Christ himself. But you know, toying with that kind of thing is just like kids playing in front of open gas jets with matches, so far as the Bible is concerned. If you look at biblical history and find out whether or not this type of thing has happened in societies in the past, you will find an absolute affirmative. You will find that in the past, many times in history, the people of God turned away from the commandments of God, from the laws of God, from the values that would produce the kind of lives they really wanted, and instead turned to what is called the host of heaven. What people don't know about the host of heaven is remarkable. They don't know, for example, that Lucifer was originally created as a great light bringer, a great archangel, of whom there are three, of which there are three in the Bible, Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel, that are mentioned. And that they each were right at the very throne of God. They don't know that Christ says in the Gospels, "I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven." They don't know that he is called a great dragon that swept a third part of the angels that actually were under his own control, that they are in what is called Tartaru in the Greek, or a condition of restraint or temporary imprisonment on the surface of this earth, that they are capable of influencing, as well as quite literally possessing, human minds. They don't seem to know, too, that the Bible shows there are beings that are in the spirit world that appear like lions, men, eagles, oxen, all sorts of creatures. That the Bible is very, very explicit on that subject. That from time to time in the past, when a certain king of Israel or of Judah would turn and worship the host of heaven and serve them, that great plagues would come down from God. That there is one indictment after another in the Old Testament as well as the New about those who would deliberately seek to spirits that peep and mutter. And it talks about seances in the Bible, about conjuring up visions, about soothsaying and foretelling the future. There's a great deal in the Bible about prophets or dreamers who would try to give people a sign or a wonder. But you know, there are biblical tests and there are biblical safeguards. For instance, it says in the New Testament, "Beloved, believe not every spirit," 1 John 4:1. "But try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." How do you try a spirit? Well, the Old Testament comes along to help you there. Because it says in the book of Deuteronomy, "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams." Now, there has arisen among us in the United States many, many prophets, many soothsayers, forthtellers, dreamers of dreams, and seers of visions. A lot of people claim to be talking regularly to the Lord. A lot of them come on the air or television and say, "Lord and I had a little talk yesterday. The Lord appeared to me and the Lord said thus and such." So they are just like the ancient prophets of Israel, apparently claiming, "I've seen a vision from the Lord." Now the Bible says it's a way to prove whether or not this guy is a fake, a charlatan, a fraud, and a liar, as well as being probably a hypocrite and a few other things, or whether or not he actually is on the up and up and telling the truth. And it says so in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 13, verse 1 through 5. Take a look at it in your own Bible. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and gives you a sign or a wonder. Now we've progressed another great, big, huge step. To most people, a sign or a wonder, meaning something which defies the physiological, which defies science and known laws of science and physics, and which is obviously supernatural, not just magic, because magic is basically a series of tricks, although I don't think all of it is. I think some of it may border on the supernatural or even be supernatural. But let's say there arises a prophet or a dreamer and he gives you a sign or a wonder. Now, it's actually incontrovertible. You see it with your own eyes. Some demonstration of actual spiritual or psychic power. All right? Or the sign or the wonder come to pass, it goes on to say in the Bible. And it's genuine, and you can prove it. Whereof he spake unto you, saying, quote, now comes the hitch. If he says, I'm a prophet, a dreamer of dreams, I've seen a vision, I'm a great spiritual messenger, I'm a great leader. Apparently the Koreans are really going crazy inside the United States these days. If they're not bribing officials, if they're not spending money hand over fist to keep congressmen and other people in their hip pocket, then they're exporting some would-be seers or dreamers who a lot of Americans think are stealing the kids away because of the interest in psychic phenomena in the occult, mystical, semi-mystical, and especially Oriental religions. A lot of Western young people are so dumb, they actually think that the religion of the East is the way to go. You know, I always think, well, now what did the religions of India ever do for India? As you see little children going along with that one eye gone that their mother gouged out to make them better beggars. As you see the blind holy men who sat in the cave and stared at the sun all day until it blinded their eyes and sit around the rest of their lives begging. As you see the trucks carrying the bodies away in Calcutta. And you look at the incredible nightmare of these overpopulated, desperately squalid, poverty-stricken and disease-ridden nations of the Orient, especially the nations around the periphery of Southeast Asia, Indonesia. And you wonder, what did their God ever do for them? Well, maybe that's utterly simplistic to some people. I don't know. Maybe you can put that down to an opinion. But I'll guarantee you, some of the young people in the United States who want to go around with their shaved heads and bare feet and make up to an altar all day long ought to go maybe to the city of Calcutta or Bombay or someplace in China, wherever, and just take a cab ride. Just get aboard the cab and say, take me out to the suburbs and let me out. Go ahead, take your bare feet and your bald head and your flowing robe and go over there among those mystics and Orientals and live with them for a while. You'll be dead in about a week. You get violent dysentery. You won't be able to breathe the air because of the filthy germs laden in the very dust coming up from the roadway as the truck and the bus goes by, the teeming myriad millions of people competing with cattle for the same sustenance to live upon. You wouldn't be able to make it through the week because if you took a drink of water, it'd be so teeming with all kinds of bacteria, probably, that feed upon human excrement, which is very, very true, all too true in many nations in this world today. But for some reason, a lot of well-fed, pampered, young American people who come from fairly normal, balanced homes in many cases, where they've had affluence in many cases, want to go off into some wild, weird, occult, quasi-religious, mystical, semi-mystical religion from the Orient and think this has got all the answers. Well, at least they got bells, chimes, bare feet, bald heads, chants, and can turn around in circles, wave feathers, and do obeisance to an altar. You got to say there's something to that. It sure beats singing the old rugged cross, I guess, to a lot of these kids. Whatever it is, if your religion, you know, I've always said to people, if you understand your religion is no good to you. What is great about it is that these kids always speak in kind of monosyllabic tongues that nobody understands. Maybe it's a gift of tongues to teenage, like, you know. Now, just as I said that, all the teenagers knew exactly what I was talking about. Not all of them, but a few of them that use that kind of language. When you understand your religion is no good to you, I mean a practical religion that says there are laws and penalties for breaking them, that there is cause and effect, that there is a way of life prescribed by the Bible, which if you break is going to break you, It's too simple. Obedience to divine laws and principles, which net benefits, proceeds, dividends, a payoff in positive, definite, measurable terms. That's too simple for people. But prayer wheels, tinkling cymbals and gongs, the smell of incense, Persian prayer rugs, bare feet, gongs, altars, idols, leering and grinning idiots with navel jewels and eight arms? Now that's more like it. What about snakes and dragons and winged bats and frog's knuckles and something you carry around your neck that has a hole in it to keep your dirty finger out of the way while you finger the beads? You know, I mean, if it can be mystical, if it can have all kinds of chants, you can sit around and say, ooh, you know, when you hear a kid doing that in classroom, you'd say, hey, you need a shot of Pepto-Bismol or maybe a walk home. But you see these people sitting around in cross-legged going into this business of repeating this mindless sound. Now, if your kid did that, you'd probably be taking to have him examined. But you got people in there given what is called a mantra. Now, a mantra is not something you wear around your shoulders. It is a mindless, idiotic sound. It means absolutely nothing, and so you contemplate that sound. Some people have been given to contemplating their navels. Well, I would say the contemplation of your navel has got to be at least as instructive as repeating a mindless sound over and over again. But what people do not know is that this short-circuiting of the mind, this blanking out of the mind, and you can do that with any English word there is. You can do it with any English word there is. But they don't realize that this is putting them in contact with a very dangerous force, a very dangerous power, which does exist. Now, the Bible said there would come a time when there would be a very heightened interest in all of this business of signs, wonders, of occultism, of demonism, Satanism, witchcraft, miracles, and the like. And so today, sure enough, TM, you know, transcendental meditation, yoga, mysticism, is really booming in popularity. Only a few years ago, remember when it was revealed as if it were one of the most scandalous things you ever heard of? The Queen of the Netherlands had been in touch with some kind of a lady that kept a crystal ball someplace, and she was a seer, and said that here was a leader of a nation that had been in touch with some type of a mystic. Oh, that was sensational. Well, today everybody would applaud. Hey, how's your shrink? You know, I got a better shrink than you got. Some of these people have spent so much time on the leather couch, they got mold. They smell like cowhide. It hasn't helped them very much, probably, but it's really a tremendous booming thing today. The Bible said it would be, but it gives you a warning. And it says, even if there are prophets, dreamers, seers, soothsayers, forth-tellers, and dreamers of dreams and seers of visions, and they give you a sign or a wonder, and it seems to come to pass, seems to hold water, seems to make sense, but if their message is, listen to this, let us go after other gods, that is, the stars, the sun, and the moon. What about astrology? What about oriental religions? Other gods, polytheistic ideas. Some people want to worship themselves. They want to love themselves. They want to talk about, I'm getting to know myself. Well, hog waller. Most kids got to know themselves by the time they were 2 years of age. At any rate, it says in the Bible, if those prophecies, predictions, signs, wonders come to pass, but if the message of this guy is, let's go after other gods which you have not known and let's serve them, then the Bible says, you shall not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. Why? Because God says, because God is testing and trying and proving you whether you love the eternal your God with all your heart and all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice and serve him and cleave unto him. And according to the Old Testament laws, when some of those wanderers from afar came slinking around into the nation of Israel, and they made a little headway, do you know that that carried with it capital punishment? Now, that's a fact. Now, I know that you know, I'm not suggesting anything beyond saying to you that in ancient Israel, it says here in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God. Back in Isaiah 8 and verse 19 through 20 is a pretty good test, a pretty good guarantee about this business of false spirits, of peeping and muttering, of seances, demonism, occultism, witchcraft, Satanism, of these quasi-religious, pseudo-psychic, transcendental, charismatic, oriental yoga religions. Pretty good idea. Take a look at that in Isaiah, because it's quite a safeguard. You want to use it? It says we ought to try these spirits. It says in verse 19 and 20 of Isaiah 8, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter." Isn't it interesting? You know, they never speak out with a powerful voice, it seems. Most of them always want to peep and mutter. They get this sing-song tone, and they whine and whimper away. They sound sick. A lot of them sound like they've just been recently kicked in the solar plexus with the point of a 99 Brogan or some type. Uh-huh. Won't you come to the Lord? Whatever. But they get this unbelievable wincing sound in their voice that peep and that mutter. Should not a people speak unto their God for the living, to the dead, to the law, and to the testimony? Go back to the law. Take a look at the testimony of the prophets, the patriarchs of the past, at the living examples which it says in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4 are given to us as an example to follow today. The only reason to write a word of history, especially biblical history, is so people today in the modern generation do not make the same mistakes that those in the ancient generations made. But we seem to fail, or to refuse, to learn those lessons. It says, to the law and the testimony. How many people do that? Go to the law. Take a look at the Bible, especially the Old Testament. Very precious few. If they speak, it says in this book of Isaiah, not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So the true test of a true servant of God will be that he will always be telling people to obey God. Obey the laws of God. Look to the true God. Look to the commandments of God and worship him. In Isaiah, the 47th chapter, it says, "You are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you from these things that shall come upon you. Behold, they shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame." So I'll tell you what. Maybe a lot of people are pretty much swayed by and influenced by and running around after Oriental religions, yoga, TM, charismatic renewal, in a lot of even traditional religions. Maybe a lot of people think that this business of Oriental religions and of semi-mystical and mystical religions and the occult is something you really want. It brings you out of yourself, gives you creative powers, helps you discover the inner you, the true you, helps you to love yourself and appreciate yourself and all that stuff. Fine, but I'll tell you what. You better try the results. You better try the spirits. You better find out what the message is. If the message is obey the true God who made heaven and earth and all of the universe and every human form that is upon this earth of ours, if the biblical test of Isaiah, of Deuteronomy, of 1 John 4:1, and many other scriptures is met and satisfied, well, then maybe you got something there. But if it has not been met and satisfied, then God's Word says you are tampering and meddling around with something that is going to get you in the worst possible trouble of all. I think worse than even a person physiologically freaking completely out on drugs. Because, you know, physiologically, of course, the ultimate terrible thing that can happen to you from whatever cause is death. But God has the power over death to bring about a resurrection. But you may not realize that every human being is also a combination of spirit as well as flesh. The Bible says there is a spirit in man. There is a spiritual essence which makes a human capable of having mind as opposed to just brain. It has to do with character, with the forming and shaping and developing of a mold that is to be reborn into a spirit condition, in a spirit form and shape during a resurrection. The Bible is quite explicit on that subject. And when you tamper with the very essence of that spiritual innermost you, that is your psyche, your character, your very nature, your personality. You have great spiritual capabilities. Now, any material destruction of the brain, which can be done through drugs, which is a hideous thing to think, a lot of people are doing. I'm saying that destroying, tampering, abusing, rubbing calluses upon your spiritual capacity, dabbling in the grotesque, this unhealthy, unearthly, morbid spirit world around you, is the most dangerous possible thing you can do to yourself. You're messing around with eternity. You're messing around with your chances for eternity, and you may be destroying it. People think they're going to find the ultimate answers by looking into the occult. You know why? I think because an awful lot of people think traditional orthodox religions already are preaching and teaching the Bible, and they are rejecting traditional orthodox religions, not realizing that they are not rejecting the Bible at the same time, because they will find with a gasp of amazement that a great deal of what masquerades as traditional orthodox religion cannot be justified by the Bible. You can't find it in the Bible. Traditional religion says you've got an immortal soul. The Bible says there's a spirit in man. And that when you die all over just like your favorite dog, Rover. That there is nothing that lives on because there is no consciousness apart from the brain. It's just like saying your breath expires. That's it. Breath is tangible. It is measurable. It occupies space. It has weight. It is there. It's absolute. It is made up of the gases. And it is as much a part of this physical universe, this earth upon which you live and move and in which you have your being, as rocks or water. Air is matter. It is physical in that sense, yet we call it essence. And so perhaps the best way to understand it is at expiration, when a body's lungs simply empty of residual air, and you are dead, that whatever spiritual essence that was there that gave you the perception, that element, I guess, we call humanity, if you will, that makes you human as opposed to animal. It gives you mind as opposed to brain. It gives you your whole range of emotions, of perceptions, is gone, utterly unconscious. But, you know, God's Word says there is coming a resurrection. And when you go fooling around with your capacity, your potential, in the future world, the world that is yet to come, then I really think that's even a worse fate than people that are blowing their minds on drugs, and I'm saying both of those are hideously evil. But you don't know what you're getting into oftentimes if you're a person that is interested in the search for ultimate answers by being fascinated with mysticism and the occult. And it's growing by leaps and bounds in the Western world. So you write for this booklet on the occult explosion. What does it mean? Get this booklet on the occult and its widespread interest in it. It's free of charge and no price if you dial a toll-free number right now, 800-423-4444. That's 800-423-4444. Or in Alaska, California, and Hawaii, pick up the phone and dial area 213-577-5225. You can write to me, Garner Ted Armstrong, Pasadena, California. Until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow with Garner Ted Armstrong, sponsored by the Worldwide Church of God. For literature offered on this program, send your requests along with the call letters of this station to Garner Ted Armstrong, Pasadena, California, 91123. Or you may dial this toll-free number, 800-423-4444.